Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we set the intention and begin our time together with Mashri 7 and Let It Be.
You're not playing for this day, together. There are
As always, I'd like to applaud you for taking the time out on your busy Sunday to join with me and others as we link hearts and minds across the airwaves. We have consciously chosen to take this time to commune with the source of all that is God in us as us. Here on Sunday Soul, we are looking at utilizing spirituality in a practical way. We're not promoting any particular theologies or doctrines. We're looking at truth wherever we may found it and however we may understand it at this time. And we're concluding our series, The 12 Powers, The 12 Faculties of Man, represented by the 12 disciples today. We started off with Peter, that represents faith, the foundation upon which Jesus said he would build his church. Followed by his brother Andrew's strength, wisdom, James, the son of Zebedee, love, John. Always knew that when Jesus went off to do something particular, he took faith, wisdom, and love with him. We then had fire by Philip, and imagination represented by Bartholomew. Thomas, understanding. Matthew, will. Followed by James, order. Simon the Canyon, he represented zeal. And last week we did Thaddeus, release. Renunciation, letting go. And today, we are covering the faculty that is represented by the disciple Judas. This faculty is known as life. Life generative. The color that it's represented by is red, and its location in the body is in the generative center, the sexual organs. And this is perhaps the most challenging and elusive to explain. Because unlike the other disciples that we covered that represented the 11 powers, they were very concrete, very definitive, very easily identifiable. And it was a way of just understanding, a deeper way of understanding the principles they represented. Judas is a little more challenging. And the reason why it's a little bit more challenging is because this is a faculty that is in constant change. It's not permanent. It's continuously in development. So we're seeing this power, this faculty, in ever-flowing transitional states. So where you may be today may not be where you were yesterday, or where you may be tomorrow, where the life generative principle is concerned. You see, Charles Fillmore, who realized the faculties, realized these principles, refers to this as generative life, or life conservation, or life appropriation. And if you're appropriating something, you're taking possession of it. You're taking the truth and making it a substance and word made flesh. And these are all an expression of it, but it's not it in its totality. You see, life itself is not truly a faculty. Life itself is it's a spiritual principle. It's the quality of God. It is pure, it's perfect, and it's eternal. It's our spiritual self. It's the Christ self within us. And what we are doing is that we are taking aspects of it. We are growing into our Christ nature. You see, Jesus didn't just settle with the 11 faculties. He knew that this faculty was necessary. It's necessary because it's what helps us develop into our true Christ nature. It is necessary because the truth of it is the egoic part of who we are. It's our consciousness, which sometimes we are unconscious of, and which sometimes we connect to our subconscious, and other times we can connect to our superconscious. This is why it's not in a permanent state. This is why it's constantly changing between the levels. This is why sometimes one day we get it, one day we're aligned with truth and spirit, and the next day our ego has betrayed us, and we drop back into the victim mode. We drop back into limitation. We drop back into the consciousness of separation. You see, this faculty is one of the most powerful faculties that we have, because when we truly are growing it, when we truly are developing it, we are honing in our Christ spirit, our Christ nature. And this is in every one of us. As I constantly, repeatedly say on the Sunday Soul, the spiritual work and the spiritual path is not for the faint-hearted, because we have to continuously and consciously keep aligning with truth, keep aligning with the principle of who we are and whose we are. We have to keep consciously choosing and aligning to remember our divine nature, which is God, which is the Christ self. This principle, this faculty, represented by the generative center, is that which helps create. Because this is the faculty that directs the others. It is so important that even after Judas betrayed Jesus and then went and committed suicide, he was replaced by another disciple, Matthias, who was more developed in consciousness. And this speaks to the fact that we need all 12 faculties, all 12 powers within us to truly express, experience our Christ self. The life generative center, the life purpose, the life appropriation was replaced by that which had developed a higher consciousness than Judas the betrayer. Life in us is expressed on an unconscious level when we do not align with truth, when we are not focused on the principle and the way that Jesus taught. The other faculties, as I said, the other powers, they are more concrete. But you can see how this particular one is a little bit more challenging because of its nature. You see, if we do not rein in our life principle, it will betray us in false thinking, in limiting ideas, in erroneous beliefs. I went to see a friend last night, and I hadn't seen her for a few years. And she had left, I had known her because she used to run networking groups, that's how I met her. And she had sold her business, her letting agency business, and then went on to wanting to do food of her country, etc. And because of COVID, she ended up having to close that, and they took over a fish and chip shop. And I said, I will come and have supper last night with you. And as I sat there, and she was telling me everything that they'd been through, all that had gone on, all that had gone wrong, and then she kept repeating to me how much both her and her husband hated the shop, hated working in there, hated doing it. And after she had listed all the reasons why she hated it so much, I shared gently that she needed to change that look, that outlook. I recognized her Judas faculty was betraying her. If you are vibing in the energy of hatred for something, for it not being what you wanted, for your life not being how you expected, you are creating the wrong vibration through which your Christ self can work. She said, oh, I'm just sharing it with you because you're my minister, type thing. And it isn't a get out clause to share with me because I'm your minister, because you know from truth, the way, with the passion with which she was expressing, this was something she still was feeling. We are betrayed often when we doubt, when we question, when we disbelieve, when we are wondering if God hears and answers, or why is God so slow in delivering, or why, and you know, whatever the question might be. When we can think about the fact that this faculty, this principle, is in a constant state of change and transition. It's unstable. We have to consciously work on developing it so that we can grow, move beyond the Judas representation and embrace the Matthias expression. You see, just as life is the energy that propels us into action through our choices, through our beliefs, through what we are speaking. And the life in us is just like the electricity in a motor. And the engineer has to direct and regulate that electricity in the motor. So we too consciously have to be our engineers that is directing and steering the energy within us. We have to be in control of our ego. We have to know where are we plugged into? What are we thinking? What thoughts are we holding in consciousness that are holding us back? My beloved, this is an examination that we are having to do continuously, over and over. I know that there's thoughts, I have my own Judas betraying me. I have thoughts where I'm thinking I'm not enough as a minister, where I'm not expressing all that I should express. And I'm doing the work to look and examine what is it in me. What is my Judas principal faculty holding me back and betraying me with that makes me not show up fully and totally? And it is true of all of us. We have to use this faculty, this power, this principle, this life that is the Christ that will direct us to our true Christ nature. We have to be diligent in how we do it, how we use it, and how we allow ourselves to co-create the life we want through our thoughts, through our beliefs, through our attitudes. My sacred text is from John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, the Spirit of God in us is our authentic identity. Jesus knew it, recognized it, spoke to us, and reminded us that we too were joint heirs with him, so we shared that same lineage. We too are sons and daughters of the Most High God. He knew his identity, the I am in him. That is why I continuously remind you, be careful what you attach to your I am. Because that is the name of God. That is your identity. That is what you are identifying with. If you are saying, I am broke, I am fed up, you are saying God in you is broke and fed up, and that can never be true. This is your conscious union with God. This is the way you access this. He says, the way. He knows that when you attach whatever it is to your I am, when you align with the true identity of who you are and whose you are, this is your way to express and experience God in you as you. In whatever activity, in whatever you're doing, you know this truth. This truth is the unchanging life that is within you. This, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words abide forever. He says, nothing or no one can come unto you, come unto God, except through him, meaning that you truly can commune with the divine of your being when you know your Christ nature. Until you know your Christ nature, until you know that the Spirit of God in you is you as you, you are flailing around. We come to the awareness of God in us as us when we embrace our true spiritual identity, the I am. The faculties, the 12 powers, the 12 disciples, is that which was directing us. That which is showing us how to express our true spiritual identity. And our final faculty, Judas, the betrayer, the life generator, is the one that we need to truly give our attention to because of its transitional nature, because it's in constant development. Because it is constantly shifting from unconscious to conscious to subconscious to superconscious to back to unconscious. And so we are shifted in within with these different states. It's not an easy faculty or power to direct. But one that as we are becoming conscious of and consciously working in directing it, it is one that will truly help on our spiritual growth. My poem this morning is from Henry Wordsworth Longfellow. A Psalm of Life, it is entitled. It is what the heart of the young man said to the psalmist. Tell me not in mortal numbers, life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but to act that each tomorrow find us further than today. Art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb driven cattle, be a hero in the strife. Trust no future however pleasant, let the dead past bury its dead. Act in the living present, heart within and God o'erhead. Lives of great men all remind us, we can make our life sublime, and departing, leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing o'er life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing shall take heart again. Let us, then, be up and doing, with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait. Oh, he can't be a little Longfellow, little Wordsworth. This morning I haven't got a science of mind reading to you. As it's the final one, I'm sharing a daily word reading that was written in July of 1961. It is entitled, I am alive, alert, awake, joyous, and enthusiastic about life. The author writes, God is life. We live in God life. We express life. And to fully understand this, we need to think about God. We need to think about life. By concentrating our thought on God as life, we identify ourselves with life. A good time to think about life is when we feel tired. A good time to think about life is when we are worried about a loved one's physical condition. A good time to think about life is when we enter a room where the conversation is depressing, or when we enter a bus or streetcar after a day's work and we see lifeless looking people around us. God is life. We live in God life. Thoughts of life lift us out of tiredness. Our loved ones live in God's life, and we are free from worry about their physical condition when we center our thoughts on God as life. Conversation comes alive when we speak words of life. People around us are quickened, and we see them relax as they catch a glimpse of our enthusiasm about life. My story is entitled The Paradox of Our Age by Dr. Bob Moorhead. We have taller buildings, but shorter tempers. Wider freeways, but narrower viewpoints. We spend more, but have less. We buy more, but enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences, but less time. We have more degrees, but less sense, more knowledge, but less judgment. More experts, but more problems. More medicine, but less wellness. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry too quickly, stay up too late, get up too tired, pray too seldom, and watch too much TV. We have multiplied our possessions, but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and lie too often. We've learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to life, not life to years. We've been to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We've conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air but polluted the soul. We've split the atom but not our prejudice. We write more but learn less. Plan more but accomplish less. We've learned to rush but not wait. We have higher incomes but lower morals. More food but less appeasement. More acquaintances but fewer friends. More effort but less success. These are the times of fast foods and slow digestion. Tall men and short characters, deep profits and shallow relationships. These are the times of world peace but domestic warfare. More leisure and less fun. More kinds of food but less nutrition. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce. Of fancier houses but broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It is a time when there is so much in the show window and nothing in the stock room. Today, many want to gain the world at the mere expense of their souls. Evil is contemplated and performed with both hands, yet we cannot lift a finger for our fellow man. May God have mercy on our souls. Pray without ceasing, and let each of us examine our own ways. I shared that because I recognize how Dr. Bob writes on a life which I'm sure there are aspects there that all of us can identify with. That is a life that is not aligned with truth and principle. It is a life that is not expressing the Christ spirit within us. He's given us many examples of the betrayer Judas in that expression of that story. And so, my beloveds, the invitation is to be more conscious of this 12th power because of its continuously changing nature. Because you are continuously in development of it. It is a powerful faculty. And not to be underestimated at all. So if you haven't already, I invite you to go within. Enter into the cave of the heart, the sanctuary of the soul, the monastery of the spirit. Where we connect with the ground of being, the source of all that is God in us as us. Always. I like to remind you of the words of Job. That it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So as we bring our attention to breath, let us be conscious that we are breathing in the breath of life itself. Inhale. Say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out. In. Out. In. In, out, in, out, in, out. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath by breathing deeper. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out slower. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in deeper. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out slower. Deeper. Slower. Deeper. And as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath. I breathe in healing. As you breathe out, this is my breath. As I breathe out forgiveness. This is my breath as I breathe in healing. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Healing. Forgiveness. Heal. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in spirit. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out life. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in spirit. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out life. Spirit. Life. Life. I want you to bring your attention into your genital center, into your sexual organs, which creates and generates life. And imagine the color red. And now affirm for yourself. I am aware that I am life itself. And that the living spirit lives in me. I am a healer and a restorer. I consciously choose spiritual growth and evolution. And I joyfully energize and enliven all that is in service to my greatest good. Let us repeat. I am aware that I am life itself, and that the living spirit life lives as me. I am a healer and restorer. I consciously choose spiritual growth and evolution. And I joyfully energize and enliven all that is in service to my greatest good. Let's affirm for the final time. I am aware that I am life itself, and that the living spirit lives as me. I am a healer and restorer. I consciously choose spiritual growth and evolution. And I joyfully energize and enliven all that is in service to my greatest good. Take a deep breath in as you allow that affirmation to resonate within. And as we get ready to enter into our circle of prayer, as always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is the spirit, the energy, the life force, the life stream in which we are living, moving, and having our being. Divine Beloved, Thou who art the absolute mystery, the infinite intelligence, the spirit of life, truth, love, that is within us. As we consciously come into communion with you this morning, we ask that you truly enliven our faculty of life, that we recognize when we are allowing this principle, this power, represented by Judas, to betray us, to betray our true spiritual nature and identity. Let us recognize that as we embrace our life faculty, that is in a constant form of development, shifting and transitioning from unconscious conscious to subconscious to superconscious, let us be patient but diligent as we do this work to grow and strengthen this particular faculty, this generative power, this appropriating power, this conservation power that is life. May we know that truly as we embody, live, and express as our teacher taught us, that we too can express and experience our Christ nature. We too are the I Am, We too know the way. We too now understand that Christ nature, our Christ spirit is the way to commune and express the ground of our being, God in us as us. Let us not take all of these 12 principles and faculties and use them or misuse them. But let us consciously align with each of them so that we can truly embrace the I am of our being, our Christ self. Let us embrace all the faculties that we have been studying and reflecting upon these past 12 weeks, knowing that each one, as we work with, complements all that we are doing to expand, to enliven, to express our Christ nature. Divine Beloved, Mother, Father, God, you know where we are on our road, on our journey to you. And I know that you only await us to come into the full awareness and knowledge of your ever-abiding presence, to express and to experience it as our teacher and way-shower did. To know that there is no separation, there is no division. We are always one with you and all that you are. Mother, Father, God, there is so much happening across our world at this time. Whilst we recognize our Christ nature, let us also recognize and behold it in others, even when they are expressing selfishly, even when they are expressing hatefully, even when they are expressing limitingly. For every situation, for every condition, for every need, for every desire, for every dream, we bring it before your throne of grace and surrender it to you now. Beloved Mother, Father, God, for the words I have not shared or for what I have not asked, I know you will not fail to bless, for it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. Amen. This morning, we are running a little behind, so let us do our movement prayer. Stretch your hands towards the sky and wiggle your fingers and affirm, I open myself to the oneness of all of life. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm, I radiate love to all who I meet. Bring your hands together as if in prayer and affirm, I speak only words that affirm the quality of life I want. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, facing outwards and affirm, I'm continuously grateful for all my blessings, seen and unseen. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrist, and affirm, I let go of any real or perceived shortcomings I may have. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for our affirmations and Buddhist meditation. Our daily word affirmation. In Him we live and move and have our being.
In Him we live and move and have our being.
Our Buddhist meditations. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed. I freely forgive them.
And I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed. May I be happy.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May I be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
Our prayer of intention, I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Our rumi quote for the week. Wherever you stand, be the soul of that place. And this is the last Sunday of Pride Month. The LGBTQ plus flag was created because they used to, you wear a pink triangle as a symbol. That used to be what they used to represent. But they reclaimed it because its dark origins came from Nazi oppression. Hitler had used that particular symbol to persecute queer people in his dictatorship. So just as the Jews had to wear the Star of David, all gay people had to wear this pink triangle. And then Harvey Milk, back in 1979, got together with his friend and got him to design the flag that you see. But it's changed up a little, and although it's the rainbow-colored flag, sometimes non-binary people will have yellow, white, and purple in it. The BAMI group, they might have brown or black in it. But whenever you see the rainbow flag, celebrate our brothers and sisters. My beloveds, I'm overrunning, and I apologize. We have a lot to put in today. So our closing benediction I've adapted from Reverend Bronte Colbert. Divine beloved, as we celebrate life around us and as us, we acknowledge that we are unique, valued expressions of the divine as we walk in the world. May we always be grateful for the breath of life that energizes us. May we continuously realize and remain vital, upbeat, and at one with life, the life force. As we gratefully accept the gifts that life offers us and open our minds and hearts to the blessings of abiding peace, abundant prosperity, unconditional love, glowing health, and unlimited creativity. Just to remind you, we'll have our usual 10 at 10 on Thursday. And my closing song, I'm praying the technical angels will be with me today. It's from one of my favorite artists, Her, with Torrin Wells, and it's entitled Hold Us Together. Enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love that song. My beloved, I wish you a very happy Sunday, whatever you're doing. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to joining you on Thursday for our 10 of 10. Peace and blessings.